I'm pleased to announce, as of about 30 minutes ago, we've reached agreement with the White House on a version of the Russian sanctions bill that they will support. It means it's going to become law. So when I get back to Washington, I'm going to go with Senator Blumenthal to the Republican and Democratic leader to see if we can find time to move this Russian sanctions package that would give tools to President Trump to help end this war.
Happy news.
Thank you very much.
This is my video update on this Sunday afternoon, July the 12th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the big news story for today, which is that Senator Lindsey Graham has died. Graham was 71 years old. Just the other day, he was in Kiev meeting with Zelensky, touring a drone factory in Kiev, the Skyfall drone facility. And he returned to D.C. And according to NBC News, he passed away at his residence. I believe that is what NBC News is reporting. Now, NBC News said that there was a call to paramedics referencing a cardiac arrest. Emergency personnel responded to a call for cardiac arrest at Graham's Capitol Hill home on Saturday night, according to police scanner audio obtained by NBC News. Senator Lindsey Graham dies at 71 after brief and sudden illness. Now, Graham's official account on X has the statement, a statement from the office of U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina. The office of U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, released the following statement. On the evening of Saturday, July 11, U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham passed away from a brief and sudden illness. Senator Graham's family appreciates prayers at this time and asks for privacy during this incredibly difficult period. That is from Graham's official account on X. A brief and sudden illness. NBC News is talking about cardiac arrest. U.S. President Donald Trump posted on Truth Social, "Senator Lindsey Graham, one of the greatest people and senators I have ever known, is dead. He was always working and was a true American patriot. Lindsey will be greatly missed. Details and arrangements to follow. So sad, President Donald J. Trump." Now, just yesterday, I was reporting via CBS News that Lindsey Graham had finally achieved one of his big, big major goals when it comes to Project Ukraine and to towards Russia, which was to get President Trump to go along with secondary sanctions on Russian oil. The bone-crushing secondary sanctions. According to CBS News, Graham and Blumenthal had finally convinced Trump to go along with his bone-crushing sanctions idea, and Congress had all of the votes necessary, and Graham went to Kiev to bring the good news to Le Gobelin Vert. And that's when things got got conspiracy theory-like, because the official line is that Graham died suddenly of a serious illness or a cardiac arrest. But the conspiracy theory part to this story is that Graham, well, there's two components to the conspiracy theory. Let me back it up a bit. Conspiracy theory number one is that Graham was visiting the Skyfall drone facility, and on June 11th, there's a photo, by the way, of Graham visiting the Skyfall drone facility, and he is holding a Sun, Ukrainian Sun drone in this photo. And on the 11th, the Russian Ministry of Defense, they announced that they had targeted drone facilities in Kiev and destroyed two drone facilities in Kiev. So that's conspiracy theory number one. Conspiracy theory number two, which is really not much of a conspiracy theory, but it's very likely, which is that Graham in Kiev actually tipped off Russia to the location of this drone facility. Then he traveled back to the United States. He died suddenly of a serious illness, but Russia then got the 100% absolute confirmation that there was indeed a big drone facility located in Kiev, and they launched their strikes. Now, here are the facts, at least what we know at this moment. Russia publicly announced, that the two drone facilities that they hit in Kiev were the Aerodrone facility and the Firepoint facility, or a facility run by Firepoint. In a statement released on Saturday, the Defense Ministry said Russian forces carried out overnight strikes on the Aerodrone facility in Kiev, which manufactures unmanned aerial vehicles. The strikes also hit Fanplit, interesting name, where Firepoint 2 UAVs are assembled and stored. The location had been disguised as a civilian plywood and furniture manufacturing plant, the ministry added. So no mention of the Skyfall facility. There is no official, zero official, at the time of recording this video, confirmation that Russia targeted the Skyfall facility where Lindsey Graham visited. Something is happening here. Almost like something's being dug up. Strange. So that's the story with Graham in Kiev visiting the Skyfall drone facility, the Russian strikes at two confirmed Ukrainian drone facilities, the Aerodrone and the Fanplit drone facility, which is operated by Firepoint. You remember the Firepoint company, right? Alensky's best friend, who is still in exile. He's in Israel, I guess. I forgot the guy's name. What was his name? Mindich? Anyway, that's the whole Firepoint. That's the company, Firepoint, run by these guys. And used to be a talent agency, right? And then it became a drone manufacturing company. It racked up lots of contracts, billions and billions of dollars of contracts. So those are the confirmed drone facilities that the Russian Ministry of Defense has said they have hit and they destroyed. And on the same day, we had, on July 11th, we had Lindsey Graham at the Skyfall facility. Now, there are analysts who are saying that there is no way that Russia, knowing where Lindsey Graham was, would have targeted that facility. That's just not Putin's style at all, right? Decapitation strikes is something that Putin is on record saying to various officials, do not conduct any decapitation strikes at all, whether it's Ukraine or foreign officials, don't do it. So when that train travels from Poland to Kiev, let it travel to Kiev, leave Zelensky alone, leave Yermak alone, leave Budanov alone. So that's the analysis on whether this might have been a decapitation strike. Now, there is also analysis as to whether Graham led them to the Skyfall facility, and perhaps it was destroyed, but the Russian Ministry of Defense is not announcing it. Now, there are analysts that claim that usually Russia, they plan their strikes well in advance. So Graham would not have led them to the Skyfall facility. They had already planned to go after the aerodrone facility and the Fanplit facility weeks in advance. They had planned these strikes, and they aren't announcing any strikes into Skyfall because there were no strikes on the Skyfall facility. Now they know that it's there. Maybe Graham has confirmed its location, but there were no strikes on Skyfall because Russia doesn't conduct strikes in that type of manner. Everything is carefully planned weeks and weeks ahead of time. So what Graham might have done is confirmed Skyfall's location, and maybe in the next couple of weeks, a Russian strike may happen at the Skyfall facility. That's a possibility. Anyway, I wanted to give you guys the full picture as to all of these theories and analysis surrounding Graham's sudden death. The official story from NBC News and from various other outlets is that Graham went home to DC. He had a serious illness and he passed away. That's the official story. He looked fine in Kiev. He was even giving speeches. He was making statements, attending meetings. Anyway, that is the update there. I will leave it at that. Actually, I will read you some statements from, one second. What have I bookmarked? Statement from Netanyahu, who is considering attending Graham's funeral. That is from Netanyahu's office. So he may be traveling to Washington, D.C. to meet with Trump and attend Graham's funeral. We have BlackRock Mertz, who posted on X, U.S. Senator Graham was a true friend and a partner of Germany in the transatlantic alliance for more than four decades. We have stood side by side. I will miss him, says BlackRock Mertz, with a black and white photo of Mertz hanging out with Graham. And I've bookmarked a very long post from Le Gobelin Vert. I'm not going to read you the entire post, but Le Gobelin Vert says in my Alensky voice, deeply saddened by the news of the passing of new United States Senator Lindsey Graham. Lindsey was true defender of freedom and the values that make our world safer. He visited Ukraine 10 times, during the years of Russia's full-scale invasion and was there with our people when it was most needed. We remained in constant dialogue, and I will miss our conversations. We met twice in just the past week. And then he goes on and on to talk about Graham and Ukraine and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, that's Le Goblin Vert. And I talked about Graham in Kiev yesterday, my video update. So that's the huge news. Very, very big news on the passing away of Lindsey Graham. About 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 4 years ago, I was doing a video with Alexander. I believe it was on the Duran. And that's where the Alensky curse originated. We started to talk about Alensky and how everyone that comes in contact with Alensky loses an election or has to resign or something like that. When you shake his hand or give him a hug, it's the Alensky curse. That originated on the Duran. I forgot the video. I forgot when. That was a long time ago. Everyone talks about the Alensky curse now. It's the Alensky curse without the Z. So many people reference it as the Zelensky curse. No, it's the Alensky curse. Anyway, if you've been watching this channel, if you've been watching the Duran for many, many years, you know about the origin story of the Alensky curse, of the Green Goblin, of Le Goblin Vert, escalation, escalator, no reverse gear, BlackRock Mertz, Annalena 360, Vander Crazy, Vander Pirate, Pirate Schultz, Trudeau, you idiot. So much material, so much content. What an amazing day. What an amazing time to be alive. So we move on to the news that Ukraine is smashing Russian tankers in the Sea of Azov, close to Rostov-on-Don. And they're describing these ships as tankers, and Ukraine is saying they've hit something like 43 of these ships over the past week, or 48. Seems very high, but these are being hit by drones and naval drones, and tugboats are also being hit. But my understanding is that these are not oil tankers, or at least they're not all. All of these ships are not all oil tankers. They're actually ships carrying grain and wheat, food. And if this is true, I find the number to be very high. I've actually read reports which claim that Ukraine is hitting the same ship over and over again. So I've read those reports as well. Anyway, the Russian Ministry of Defense has been quiet about this. The Kremlin has been very quiet about this. All we have to go on is collective West media reports and propaganda and Le Goblin Vert propaganda videos that they've put out hitting ships. But if this is true, and these are grain ships that are being hit, then Houston, we're going to have a very big problem with food. Because Russia provides a lot of wheat, a lot of grain, a big exporter, maybe the number one or the number two exporter. And now the United States, NATO, using their proxy in Ukraine, they are going after the Russian food supply. That's going to be very problematic for the world. Now, these could also be oil tankers as well. I have read the reports which said that some of the ships, about eight to 12 of the ships, were oil tankers, but they had already offloaded all of their oil and they were just sitting empty, just sitting around empty. Why Russia wasn't providing any protection or anything like that, I don't know. I have no idea what the Russian strategy is, but a lot of ships that were going to carry grain cargo, mostly towards Africa, I want to say Africa and Asia, appear to have been hit. Russia has temporarily halted shipping through the Don Azov Channel and Kerch Strait after Ukraine attacked 13 Russian vessels in the Sea of Azov. Since roughly 25% of Russia's wheat exports use this route, traders fear disruptions to global grain supplies, causing wheat prices to jump about 4%. It's unclear how long the shipping halt will last, according to Reuters. So if you see prices go up in food, you know who to blame. Don't blame Zelensky. Don't blame Zelensky. Don't blame Ukraine. Blame the collective West. Blame NATO. Blame UK. Blame Trump. Blame Starlink. We are getting news that there is going to be a change in the government of Le Goblin Vert. He is going to change up his cabinet. This has been confirmed. One second. Yeah, it has been confirmed by all the media outlets, Ukrainian and international, and the one person that is on her way out is the Prime Minister Svyrydenko, Yulia Svyrydenko. She has already posted on X that she has spoken with Le Goblin Vert and changes need to be made to strengthen the government's work, and she is grateful to the president for his trust and for his high assessment of her team's work. I am proud to have had the honor of leading the government during one of the most difficult periods in Ukraine's modern history. I thank every man and woman for defending Ukrainian land, blah, blah, blah. That is Svyrydenko. I believe she was prime minister for about a year. She took over for my precious Shmigel. Remember him? Dennis Shmigel, my precious. I believe he's like energy minister now, Shmigel. But she's definitely on her way out. What other cabinet changes are being made, I have no idea. I would not be surprised if there are many people in the Zelensky cabinet and administration who want to get off of the sinking ship, want to take their chips and cash in. That would not surprise me one bit. But hey, stoobity stoob, nothing says winning like switching around your cabinet during a war, right, Alexander Stoob? Nothing says winning like shuffling and shifting your cabinet in a time of conflict. Ayos Vasily. Wow. Why is this just thrown away like this at this church? It's a prayer book. Just lying in the dirt. I think it should be. It should be like right here, I guess. There was something set up here. But anyway, interesting. So yeah, someone should tell Stoob that the Ukraine government is collapsing. It's changing things up. Change is good. Change is good, Mr. Stoob.
A little change is a good thing. It's called winning, Mr. Stoop.
Anyway, that's breaking news. And then we had the announcement from the Russian Ministry of Defense, where they have put out a statement saying that they can hit Ukraine from the air anytime, anywhere, including Kiev. Now, Zelensky is on record. The entire Ukraine military, pretty much, the Ukraine government is on record, and the collective West as well, saying that Ukraine is out of patriots. This is no secret. I'm not breaking any news. Ukraine has no more patriots. Over the past couple of days, Russian strikes into Kiev, into the capital city, have met zero resistance, zero air defense, zero patriot missiles, pretty much. And not completely zero, I would say, but everything is getting through. And so Ukraine is critically low on interceptors and patriot missiles. They're rationing whatever they do have. And the Russian Ministry of Defense, they put out a statement saying that the Russian troops are capable of reliably hitting any targets throughout Ukraine, and the geography of the strikes is not limited to the supposedly best defended Kiev, where Zelensky has now deployed virtually all available Western missile defense systems. So everything is in Kiev, but everything is getting through. Of course, he's going to protect the capital city, right? Whatever they have is going to go to the capital city. But like I said, the past two, three weeks of Russian missile strikes, they've hit everything. They have hit everything that they have targeted. And you're not even getting the Ukrainian claims of 100 missiles fired and 120 were downed. Remember those claims from the Ukraine military? 100 missiles launched into Kiev, 120 missiles were destroyed. You're not even getting those claims anymore. And so the Russian Ministry of Defense is putting out statements saying they can hit anywhere in Ukraine that they want. In a normal conflict, I guess you would say, with this type of reality, this type of advantage that one side has over the other, you would think that the side that has the advantage, that they would exploit it to the full. I mean, this is huge. It's a huge development. No more patriots. We're running low on patriots. Unable to protect your airspace. No more air defense, or running low on air defense. It's a huge development. But you would think that this would be exploited. We'll see if it is. We'll see what the Russian military does. But we are talking. We are also talking about Putin and maximum restraint. So who knows if the Russian military will use this to their advantage, or if they will not use this to their advantage. So we will see. We will see what happens going forward. But big news with regards to the war. Everyone understands that Ukraine is now very vulnerable. If Russia exploits this vulnerability, remains to be seen, or if Putin will continue with maximum restraint. So let's now turn to the other big story, which is the war. Hey, my friend, how you doing? The war in Iran, the war against Iran. What are you checking out? Are you looking at the pigeons? Are you going hunting? Maybe he's going hunting, maybe not. I don't know. I don't think so. The cats here and the pigeons, they seem to live in harmony. So the war is on. It's in full swing. Iran hit a Cyprus-flagged tanker trying to pass through the Strait of Hormuz, most likely using a route that has not been approved by the IRGC, which is the southern route, the Oman route, which I've been talking about for 3-4 weeks now. And then the United States, they launched a huge attack against Iran, hitting 140 targets. This is what CENTCOM said in a statement. 140 targets were hit in Iran. And then Iran launched a huge retaliation into the Gulf countries, Kuwait, Bahrain, Jordan. I read some reports about the UAE also being hit. And the big strikes, my understanding of Iran's retaliation, were towards Qatar. They were hitting U.S. facilities, U.S. air bases, U.S. radars in the region. A very big Iran retaliation. Ghalibaf, the parliament speaker, he announced, along with the IRGC, that the Strait of Hormuz is officially closed. Hormuz is now closed, and all the reports are showing zero traffic moving through Hormuz. Which is interesting because the United States, CENTCOM, is declaring the Strait of Hormuz open to all vessels. Quote, Iran does not control the strait. Traffic is flowing. Okay, here's what Ghalibaf posted. The era of one-sided deals is over. We told you, keep your word or pay the price. Reality is knocking. And he has point 5 of the MOU, which says, upon the signing of the MOU, the Islamic Republic of Iran will make arrangements using its best efforts for the safe passage of commercial vessels with no charge for 60 days only from the Persian Gulf to the Sea of Oman and vice versa. And highlighted in Ghalibaf's post is the sentence, the Islamic Republic of Iran will make arrangements. The words, the Islamic of Iran will make arrangements. So Iran saying that it is the United States that broke the MOU, because on point 5, Ghalibaf is making the claim that Iran was for 60 days responsible for Hormuz. The United States differs on that point. But they claim that Iran broke the MOU. But Hormuz is closed. CENTCOM is saying it's open. I would not be surprised. We have the weekend. We have a lot of fighting now. I would not be surprised. This is a prediction. It's a prediction. But the Trump White House coming out with a statement, say sometime between now and before the markets open on Monday, saying that the Strait of Hormuz is open and that Iranian officials have contacted him and they want to make a deal. Or mediators have contacted him and they want to make a deal or something like that. My prediction is that this will be done. And I don't know why I'm predicting this, but it's just a guess. It's just a hunch. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but most likely something like that takes place right before the markets open. Just a guess. I'm not going to show you that. I'll show you that from far away. But that was a dead little critter that the bugs were now feasting on. I will not show that on video, or at least not get a close up to it. So that is what's happening with Iran. Oman has put out a proposal. And Iranian officials were in Oman, and they were meeting with officials in Oman, and they were given this proposal. Iranian officials said that they will have to take this back to Iran and to discuss it. They could not give a yes or a no, but But the proposal from Oman was that there would be two parts of Hormuz. Hormuz would be split in two that would be monitored and secured. The one part would be monitored, secured by Iran. They would have full control of their section of Hormuz. They would charge no fees, no tolls, but they would be responsible for that part and whatever requirements or notifications or whatever was needed to pass through that part. That was Iran's business, but no tolls. The other part of Hormuz, the splits, would fall under the control of Oman, and Oman would not charge any tolls or any fees, but that traffic would fall under the responsibility of Oman. That was the proposal from Oman to Iran. You split up Hormuz. You guys take your side. We take our side. We both agree no tolls, no fees. But we're each responsible for the traffic that passes through our section. And Iran said, we're not going to say yes or no to this. We're going to take this back to Iran and we will let you know. Now, the interesting part is that the analysis that I've read with regards to the traffic that passes through Hormuz is that Oman, the Oman side, can only handle 20% of the entire traffic that passes through Hormuz. So if this deal was to be agreed on by Iran, which would mean that Iran gives up a percentage, an amount of leverage, because they say, okay, Oman, your side of Hormuz is your side. You do with it as you wish. So they would be giving up a part of the leverage that they have on Hormuz. That would mean that they're giving up about 20% of Hormuz. That's what the analysts are saying. The Oman side can handle 20% of the total traffic. Now, can that be increased? Can that be increased with the help of other Gulf countries, with the help of the United States, so that 20% goes up to 30 or 40 or 50? I don't know. Experts weigh in the comments down below. Will Iran go for such a deal? I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. But that's the proposal that Oman has put on the table. And that takes us to Clown World. Let's do a Clown World and we can wrap up today's Sunday video. We start off with Telegram founder, owner, CEO, president, whatever his title is, Pavel Durov, who has sounded off on EU's chat control, the EU surveillance system, and chat control 1.0. And Durov, he posted on X, once typical of banana republics, such tricks are now used by the EU to pass surveillance laws. That was his response, reply to the passing of chat control 1.0. He doesn't like it. He does not like it at all. Now, chat control 1.0, as I have said over the past two videos, is not mandating that platforms scan messages, all messages, except encrypted. Encrypted messages are not allowed to be scanned. That's chat control 2.0. And it's not mandatory. Chat control 1.0 makes it voluntary. And so Durov was asked on X, are we safe on Telegram? And Durov said, yes, Telegram won't scan your private messages, no matter what banana republic tricks the EU uses. And the banana republic trick was the voting 360 supermajority and the timing of the votes, which was made a day or two before the MEPs went away on their summer holiday, which made it pretty much impossible to get to that 360 supermajority. You got a majority, 314 votes, but a supermajority, given the timing of the vote, which was an EU trick, ensured that it would not reach that 360 threshold, 361. So anyway, that's Pavel Durov. Good on you, Pavel. Good on you. And I like the fact that he responded to the message about whether Telegram is going to scan messages voluntarily. And Durov said, nope, we are not going to scan any messages. Now, if you believe him, that's up to you. But he is on record saying no scanning of messages, even if the Banana Republic gives us the opportunity to do such a thing. He calls the EU a banana republic. So, clown world number two is that the Pentagon, the timing of this makes perfect sense. The Pentagon has released more UFO videos, released another batch of UFO documents and videos. Officials describe the video as the clearest footage yet. It shows a large two-tiered object captured by an infrared sensor aboard a U.S. military platform in 2020. So right on cue, we got the UFO documents and videos. No surprise there. And should we do another clown world? How about this article from the New York Times? Inside the secret factory that supplies Ukraine's war drones, with its mass-produced and inexpensive AI-powered war machines, the German startup Helsing SF illustrates a profound shift in military spending. So the New York Times put out an article all about the secret drone factory in Germany, which is not so secret anymore. Secret drone factory? No secret drone factory. Yep. The secret drone factory in Germany, which highlights German deindustrialization. From being a powerhouse automobile manufacturer, making very, very sophisticated, complicated things, Germany is now making cheap, very easy to put together freaking drones. Inexpensive, cheap drones. That will accelerate Germany's deindustrialization, by the way. This shift from car maker to drone maker will ramp up Germany's deindustrialization. Anyway, that is the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble. We're also on Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. We have a summer special of 26% off all merch. So definitely check that out. And smash the like button. That helps out this channel a whole lot. And I'm very thankful to everyone that is hitting that like button. Everyone that is obliterating the hype button. Hype up this video. And to all those who are subscribed to this channel, thank you very much for subscribing. Please check your subscription to make sure that you have not been unsubscribed by the YouTube overlords who, for some reason, like to unsubscribe people from my channel. And I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.